Nilqawkom għal Kreativita Bla Konfini li huwa program fuq Campus FM organizzat mid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti fl-Università ta' Malta. Dan il-program ħaj jiddiskuti arti, riċerka fil-Dipartiment, kif ukoll avvenimenti kulturali li ser iseħħu fix-xhur li ġejjin. Jiena Audrey Rose Mizzi u ser kun qed nippreżenta dan il-programm flimkien ma' artisti, mużiċisti u studenti li qed jagħmlu riċerka fid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti.
Hello and welcome back to our program. Today I'll be joining myself, Nikki, in the studio, and I have a special guest with us, the extremely talented baritone Ken Shikuna. Hi, Ken.
Hello, Nikki, and thanks for inviting me.
No problem. So, we're very glad to have you, obviously, because there are several points of discussion which we can open up here about your roles within the Strada Stretta concept, the events you've worked on, events that are coming, and also particular aspects of the project, now that you've have some experience of working with the team and the space, about what the project itself is trying to do. But before we get into the specifics of your events and discussions on them, could you please tell our audience a little bit about yourself, your background, your training, or anything that you deem to be important about your practice?
I'm an operatic baritone. I have studied opera in Russia, St. Petersburg, the Musical Course of Conservatoire, which is now some time ago. and I'm also a recitalist, but I'm an entertainer all around there, because at the end of the day, we're all entertainers. We're not just singers. You have to adapt. And
yes,
the Strada Stretta projects are a case in point, because the people adapt to the situation.
Yes, I think it's a situation which demands a lot of adaptation.
So I work in opera, so I do stage stuff.
Yes.
I do recitals, which are more, let's say, informal normally, because the audience expects, I just had one last week, the audience expects that the performer is singing in a very serious
context,
and the audience is just sitting and listening to them. Mm-hmm. Which is also very, very challenging, because the audience can get bored, actually.
Of course, I mean, they're sitting down.
Yeah.
But do you work mostly here in Malta? Do you?
No, not much. I'm running between all over Europe. Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So what was your most recent journey?
I just came from Greece, but I wasn't performing there. But I just had a recital here at the International Spring Festival.
Yes, organized by Culture.
Yes, which is last week. I don't know when this will be aired, but it was just a week ago.
Yes.
So that's why I'm here now, and I'm speaking
yes,
to you.
Yes, of course.
The time.
Of course. Yeah. Yes, that was a very good festival. I mean, the 11th edition of it, Colfiorini, always does a fantastic job. And we met at the closing.
It's growing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is. We met at the closing concert, which was at the MCC. We were very lucky to witness Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Very true. Very true. Which is a majestic work.
Yes, absolutely majestic work.
Performed majestic.
Yes, it really was. I was holding my breath at one point, you know, like I was going blue in the face, but you couldn't, because it was spectacular. Under Maestro Brian Schembri, mm-hmm. So everything was extremely well done. But also very interesting is that the opening piece was won by Colfiorini himself.
Yeah, exactly.
His own composition.
Based on Rudyard Kipling. Yeah.
Based on Rudyard Kipling's poem. And that was an extremely nice preface, let's say,
mm-hmm.
to one of the major pieces of classical music. So, going now into Strada Stretta, the activities you've worked on, your very first event, if I'm not mistaken, was the Carmen Opera.
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. And that was held in late November. Now that was a
it? Yeah.
Yes, it was a major event.
Mm-hmm.
Quite miraculous how everything managed to work together on several levels.
I think we weren't unlike when we were working on it and rehearsing, and I was remembering the very modern opera stagings which they're doing where they're filming them.
Yes.
Fortunately, we didn't have the filming, because that would make it even more difficult.
Yes.
But it's basically how the operas are done. I don't know. They shoot. I remember Don Giovanni by Llorente Film, I believe, also. What's his name? The American who's working a lot, and he was working a lot in Britain, I believe. One of the famous Don Giovanni's, Ruggero Raimondi, in the main role.
Okay.
Where they're shooting actually in the Veneto, you know,
okay.
around the Veneto. So you have, we weren't unlike, we didn't have all the space, but
yes.
we had the space, which is very, very similar to what we're doing.
Yes, so that I think was, there's several interesting points about this adaptation of Carmen, but I think this was one of the more interesting ones, the sense of space and how that was used. So it was held inside Splendid, which is far from the Manuel Theatre as a space.
And,
it's very close to the Manuel Theatre. But
if the Manuel Theatre is very interesting, and it's, again, being a theatre, it's there are certain rules which you have sort of to obey, no? Being in a
yes.
theatre. So the audience
yes.
is sitting always at one place. The performers are another place, no?
Yes.
They're always on stage. They're
yes.
not with the people. They're not, you know, they're always above.
Yes.
No? If you have the orchestra, it's just in the pit. So you have all these elements which are supposed to be in theater. And also the movement is very, very limited because you are moving on stage. So the staging on theater is just how large the stage is. If you are in a large theater, then you have more, you can have more movement, unless the stage director says that you are using only part of the
yes.
of the staging, or you have to because you can't see the conductor and you can't see, you know?
Yes.
And we didn't even have a conductor there.
No.
So that's a good thing. That's the challenging part, and also a good thing, because the challenging part is because you have nobody to give you any cues, and at times it's difficult to hear the music.
Yes.
Because when I remember myself in the singing Zuniga, I had one part going up the stairs, and the ensemble was
Around the corner, inside.
You're singing at full voice. It's very, very difficult to hear them.
And also, so the place was crowded with
yeah,
people.
Exactly. So you have these technical aspects, which are a challenge.
Yes.
When you have a conductor, that's the idea of the conductor. Also,
yeah,
when you have a conductor,
when you
can't hear the orchestra because you're singing or you're, you know,
yes.
the conductor gives the. It's not because the singers do not know the lines or where they have to enter, but the conductor is there to get this combination together.
So your hearing has to be extremely refined because...
You have to be very much on your toes, I believe.
Exactly.
You know, always alert. And if anything happens, you just continue, which again happens in theater. But in theater, there is this, let's say, net, which is built around the performance.
There's a bit of structure.
Yes. So that helps. In something like the Strada set, although we are, of course, rehearsed and we discussed countless discussions with Dr. Scambri Bonacci and there is this element of improvisation almost, which
yes.
is not...
Yes.
Especially in a space which is, although it is contained, being the Splendid and the scene... It's much more free than if it is on stage.
Of course.
Because, as we said, on stage you don't have much...
leeway, really.
Leeway, exactly.
And the dynamics are very different. And I do remember popping into one of the rehearsals for Carmen and having to be a stand-in audience to be her way of kind of exercising this element of improvisation. Of course, it didn't end up being anything like that in the actual performance because that is the nature of improvisation.
No.
But you were serenading me as a member of the audience, though, not as a person within the performance. I remember there was Sephora with us as well, an MA fine arts student. And we had come in because we had a meeting with Dr. Scambri Bonacci, and as usual, he joined up all his activities in one. And our research and our student life ended up being part of the performance and the other way around. So these students came in, invaded your rehearsal space. Anyway, and it was, I was very happy that I came to this rehearsal because I was witnessing this level of interaction between the pianist, yourself, within this completely unstructured space. In the sense, it was just the piano there on the side, right? And everyone had to work together. This was new for everyone. There were a lot of even young people involved, like Tom Armitage, who was working on the piano.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was something, I mean, this is the first time, right, that we've seen, at least I don't know of any operas like this in Malta that have been performed in this way.
I've seen
theatre productions in unfamiliar spaces, in non-theatre spaces.
At least
but I'm not sure about
any.
An opera.
I don't know of any.
I'm not sure of an opera, yeah, really. I haven't seen opera.
This was, of course, an adaptation. It wasn't the whole opera, you know?
Yes, it was an adaptation, exactly.
But still, it's the challenges are those we are speaking about. It's very interesting that this is something which I was anticipating. It's very interesting how the audience, their reaction is very... You find that they somehow keep a line, especially when there are the singers.
Yes.
Because for them, singers are superhuman. it happens everywhere. You know, I remember, for example, because nowadays also this is a factor which mass entertainment, like television, the cinema, and people, the majority of the people are used to television and the cinema, seeing actors, seeing singers. But when you see a singer, and especially an opera singer, who's normally relatively or very loud.
Yes.
They so are close. A bit taken aback, because that's how it should be, because there's a tradition and the opera singer is the singer who is singing above the sound of the orchestra. So
yes.
Our training is especially done so that you can project your voice with no microphones over the sound of the orchestra, which is not an easy thing to do.
It's quite a feat,
you know?
Actually.
It is. But that's the beauty of it, because that's the challenge. There's
yes.
always the challenge. But
you're
it's interesting how
really?
Basically you can say so.
Yes.
That's where the conductor comes in, where he's saying, okay,
yes.
Good conductors are always like putting down the orchestra because the singer has a place where he's not maybe at his
highest.
The register where he can sing out very, very loud, for example, or the passage is piano, so he can't, or the orchestra is too much because they're playing too much, so the singer is not heard.
Yeah, overbearing. You know? Yes.
So that's where a good conductor comes in, which of course wasn't the case in Carmen because it was a different thing. But it's interesting. I remember myself being in Germany with a friend of mine some time ago. No, was it Dresden? I believe it was Dresden, and we went to watch a performance of something by Mozart, probably Cossi, I think. Was Cozy, I believe. And we knew some singers there from Russia. We had all studied together. And it's interesting, the reaction of the children. I remember the reaction of the children because we were looking at the children. This was a matinee for children, which is very fashionable in Germany. And these were singers who are singing in a theater, but this wasn't in a theater. It was in a smaller space. But the children were amazed because exactly of this thing I'm speaking about, because they never heard in real life opera singers. So
yes.
For them, it's like, what are they doing? Yeah. Are they projecting the voice
exactly
this
how
way? Are they mic'd? Are they, you know,
incredible voices,
so they're like,
really.
They're really taken aback because of that. Because the audiences nowadays are not used to hearing live unless you are going to the theater very frequently.
Yes, and as you know, a lot of operatic productions get shown on cinemas or
exactly,
television.
Exactly, but that's totally different because
different.
It's exactly like the actor who is on screen and the actor who's on stage. The actor on stage, they mic them sometimes also. Unfortunately, I believe they shouldn't be. That's what I believe. But
the thing
goes,
is, you know, like sets and theaters being built today are absolutely huge.
Yes.
And the acoustics maybe don't allow for it.
I was just in Greece. Even the amphitheaters are huge.
Yes,
but
they're huge.
The acoustics are perfect.
The acoustics are perfect.
So
if you
speak, so it's partly that's only an excuse in the sense. I'm sure there are engineers, so they with all the technology and who can build theaters where you don't need to project. By microphones or amplification, basically.
Yes.
I believe the theater, I'm a bit of a traditionalist, but the theater should be theater. It shouldn't be cinema, it shouldn't be...
Yes,
medium.
It has its own... I mean, of course, mm-hmm. interdisciplinarity is always encouraged.
Yeah,
but
nowadays it's very normal. You go to the Globe, they are mic'd. You go to the, you know...
Yes.
The idea was that they're not... They shouldn't be mic'd.
Yes.
You know? In Shakespeare's time, they weren't mic'd.
No, they weren't, for sure.
Yeah, you tell me, because the Globe was rebuilt, whatever. But
I've been to performances there, and they weren't... They didn't have mics on, for sure.
Yeah,
and, it's part of the fascinating
whatever,
thing.
Whatever, I'm speaking about the Globe, because I'm just remembering...
Thinking of it, yes.
I'm not sure if they mic'd or not, you know, but at some of the theatres, they're mic'ing them.
But the thing is that the power of the voice... It's not only about the level of sound, it's also about particular vibrations that are emitted from that level of sound.
Also.
And particular feelings that are emitted from that level of sound. So it's not just about volume. It's about even the performance. You know, if you are performing, of course you have to be... everything is amplified,
mm-hmm.
right? So everything you do has to be amplified. So if you're shouting, if you're voice level is high, that means also that your actions are going to be even more amplified.
Because that's very theatrical. But also because of the very, very practical element. Let's take screen, television or cinema and theater. On screen, you are confined with the camera, no? With the framing of the camera.
Yes.
So you can, the actor or the singer, let's say the actor, is very much within the frame. So he fills the frame basically.
Yes.
And of course he's mic'd. So there's no need to amplify even the gestures.
Yes.
Because it's exactly like in real life. Whereas in the theater, if the person who's sitting at the back can hardly even see the actor, you know, like it's very
yes.
So the amplification in theater is also because of this.
Yes,
very
it's a necessity as well.
It's
part and parcel of it, I think. But the Carmen performance was extremely interesting on this point. I'm glad you brought it up because everyone was invading each other's space, audience and performers and musicians. I mean, the musicians are never next to the performers.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in the pit, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
All of a sudden, you had to navigate yourself not only around an audience and a crowded audience, but the musicians themselves.
It was very crowded, actually.
It was very crowded. I mean, there were people even listening from downstairs. They couldn't see, but they wanted to hear it.
In fact, that's one of the logistical problems which we had to think about before.
You managed stupendously.
Because if you get the people getting into the way, then it's very difficult, and the music is continuing.
Yes, but you can't stop. I think it's also a level of it showed a level of professionality on the performance part.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, obviously, with crowds and the fact that Spended is not a theater, so people tend to talk more in it for some reason because they feel like they're not in a theater. I've noticed by attending over time.
Yes, because a theater, as exactly we said already, a theater, people are supposed to act in a way, you know.
Yes,
people
so that's demanded of them.
So that's you know, whereas in a space which is
a casual space, not a theater.
Although, I believe there were performers in Splendid, you know, like who are doing probably more formal stuff. You know, they're playing some music which we remember. You know, we see like in Glenn Miller type of, you know, like maybe not such a big band, but that the type of thing, you know, which we did in the War Songs, by the way.
War Songs, yes.
But that was a different thing because that was much closer to a recital.
Yes.
You know? But yeah, you're definitely right there.
So it was this like a bit of a chaotic juxtaposition of all these things, plus the introduction of Anna into the
that was an amazing thing. That was an Dr. Skamri Bona, she got this amazing thing where he, because you have, and it makes perfect sense, because sometimes you have stage directors who are doing things which are, again, it happens a lot in Germany, in Austria nowadays. It's very, very fashionable. They take an opera, they take it totally out of its context, and they do something which is, I don't understand what they did. You missed the whole point there.
Mm-hmm.
They try to be shocking, they try to be whatever. Whereas this didn't happen, of course. He integrated something which is very much from the local tradition.
It's something authentic.
Into something which is of, in a southern, it's a southern opera, you know?
It's a southern opera, very
this
much
is,
so.
This is, you have Carmen, who is a gypsy.
Yes.
You know, so I don't know if you were in Seville. I would, in fact, part of the opera happens in Seville.
Yes.
There is the Secret Factory, which
yes.
I was. It's a university nowadays. In fact, I remember one. This is an anecdote. I was walking there, and my Panama hat flew in the. So I had to go and ask them. It fell into the university grounds, which actually happened to be the Secret Factory.
Okay.
Past.
Okay.
it's.
There you go.
But this is a very, very southern opera.
Story.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
the,
yes,
even
yes,
the temperament
yes, yes,
of it, right?
Definitely.
And the whole
Don Jose is the total southern, warm-blooded, you know, tenor, Latin lover, you know, like he's jealous, he's, you know, there's this rage of jealousy
Yes.
You know, which is very, very southern. It's not something northern, you know. So and of course even Carmen is basically the same thing.
Yes. So
this is very much in context because Ana is very southern, you know. It's very Mediterranean.
But also it's incredible having that, you know, authentic motifs I mentioned being put within one of the canonical operas.
Very true. And also we were amazed. I remember there was actually Carl, and we were speaking about this later on, how amazed we were with the Bormlisa, they call it. Because although the singers, they pass, the Anna singers, I mean, and I'm always fascinated by the technique, no? There was the elderly guy, I can't remember the name, who was singing in a very, very high pitch.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing. We were all amazed. I was like, wow, this is... Because the technique they have is something very, very particular.
So, a couple of words maybe now about War Songs, which is another event you worked on, smaller scale.
War Songs was very interesting, very, very interesting. First of all, the research which went in, because we introduced stuff which probably is not really heard over here a lot. There were the war songs which were written as war songs, like the Vera Lynn stuff, where she used to go, which were sung by Claire, where she used to go to sing to the troops, etc., etc. And then I was singing some of the hits by Mario Lanza.
Yes.
Which by themselves weren't war songs. But in the war they were played because the idea of the war songs was that you put up the morale of the soldiers.
Yes.
Or the hope that they will return back home safe and, you know, to their families.
Yes. So, music was used as one of the most uplifting tools, right, for everyone?
Definitely.
It was necessary.
Definitely.
I mean, even in Strada Stretta itself, the Whizbangs, who were a musical troupe, and they used to sing for the soldiers to boost their morale. Recently, there was the production, The Star of Straight Street, which was about Christina Radcliffe.
That was just before our war songs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And basically, it was a story about how this performer came to Malta and she was working Strada Stretta. But then when the war erupted, they were trying to figure out how to help, right? Everyone wanted to be useful in such a time.
Exactly.
And so the Whizbangs started off as this troupe, and they used to sing songs to the soldiers. And when I went to the performance, there were a couple of ladies next to me who knew all the words. So it
the
was
nostalgia they bring
but,
is
but the
amazing.
Thing is, it reminded me that this was part. It's a living history. I mean, people are still alive from it.
You're reminding me of recently the BBC gave a program, a special program, about Vera Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
She's 100, I believe,
mm-hmm.
And the people were very emotional.
Of course,
because there were people who were the troops for whom Vera Lynn went to sing, and they were. And they loved her, you know.
Yes, because of course, they loved
for them
her.
it was. She was a figure of hope, also, you know.
Yes,
she was this larger than life figure.
Of course, she was. Yes. Yeah. And now, could you tell us a bit about your next event happening on 14th June?
So the next event is happening on the 14th of June in the evening. There is a tenor from Spain, very, very good tenor, who's also a friend of mine, Moises Molin. We shall be singing. We have a program which is called Opera Under Stretta Stars, where we have tenor, baritone, duets, and also arias, basically from some of the mainstream, let's say Puccini and Verdi, but also a lot of Verismo, Cavalieri Stikhan and Pagliacci, which is very much in context, and also some of the Russians, mm-hmm. which are rarely heard here, and also the combination I believe is particularly interesting, because normally I believe in Malta from what I figure out, normally there is the male female combination, so we normally hear tenor soprano combinations, etc., mm-hmm. etc., but rarely two dramatic voices, because we're both dramatic, we're both spinty. He is a tenor spinto, and I'm a baritone, which is the same equivalence, who are singing passages from opera and stuff. So this, I believe, would be particularly interesting. An interesting thing is that we're having also passages from Tchaikovsky's Yevgeny Onegin.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the aria for the tenor, and the aria for the baritone, and also the dual scene, you know, so this would be all acted out in the streets or in Splendid itself.
Yes.
We're working on that.
So you're working inside and outside Splendid?
Yes, that's the idea. That's the idea.
Okay, excellent.
Because for example, you know, we have the idea of the taverna in Cavalieri Sticana, where you have the baritone Alfio and the tenor Turiddu. And there is this, I don't know if you're familiar with Cavalieri Sticana. Cavalieri Sticana is a very southern opera. It's based in Sicily. So it's very close to us. And you have the taverna. You have the it's very similar to something which we have.
Yes, and the audience will have to follow you in and out of the venue.
Yeah, this basically the idea.
No, because that's great. I love it because it releases them from that passive kind of sitting down viewing something.
These are different parts of operas. So ideally, also
the mood changes as well, right?
Yes, and ideally the audience would be. This is something which is very much in traditional theater. Would be prepared to know what we'll be singing because they can follow even better.
Yes,
probably.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, Ken, it's been great having you.
I
wish we could continue this discussion because it's gone on to many important.
We have gone.
That's how it is, right? Yeah, I mean, there's so many exciting things that we can develop upon, and hope we see you again soon. Then.
Yes, very fine. Thanks a lot, Nikki.
Thank you
for inviting.
وصلنا في لحظة البروغرام كرياتيفيتا بلا كونفيني اللي هو بروغرام فوق كامبوس اف ام اورغانيزات من الديبارتمنت للستوريا تالارتي في الونيفرسيتا تامالتا الاكثر انفورماتيوني فوق الافينيمنتي تا سترادا ستريتا سيبونا فوق فيسبوك باللي تفتشو دي سترادا ستريتا كونسبت داون الافينيمنتي وما كونسي مال اي بي اس مدينة بينا لكونسبت نشتيق ننفرماو للدينتا تانا للاي بي اس مدينة كتيجل كونتمبري ارت بيناري ser jiġi mtella fil-Mużew tal-Katedral l-Mdina bejn 13 novembru 2017 sa 7 ta' jannar 2018. APS Bank huwa l-partner uffiċjali tal-Mdina Biennale. Għal aktar informazzjoni nħeġġukom tidħlu fuq is-sit elettroniku www.imdinabiennale.com. Grazzi tal-li naqattu magħna, niltaqgħu l-ġimgħa d-dieħla.